Praise be Jesus and Mary. I continue to point out the stark contrast of these readings that we have for our first reading versus the gospel. We're getting the picture of the disciples immediately after the resurrection of our Lord versus, and this is what the gospel theme has been throughout the week of the octave of Easter, and the reading has consistently been from after Pentecost, when the apostles are not afraid any more, they're not behind locked, after Pentecost, you don't hear any more about locked doors. There's no more locked doors. There's no more, they're not afraid. They're not, there's the confusion that reigns prior to the descent of the Holy Spirit is no longer there. They've got that fortitude to stand strong. Really, also, I think the church is trying to tell us, because this whole week, really, if you haven't noticed in the prayers, especially for those of you who have been reading the Missal, I always encourage that. If you can't get to Mass, if you've been going to Mass and you've been hearing it, hopefully you've been paying attention. And this is another reason for the Missal. Even if you are going to Mass, it's good to have a Missal because it helps us to pay attention to the words. And I speak from my own experience. It's in one ear and out the other. It's like, what was said? It helps to have it, so we can also look at it and follow along in the readings and prayers. And this week it's been focusing a lot on baptism. And one of the things that the church teach about baptism is while we receive, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, fortitude, temperance, prudence, justice, those, those are twofold. You have both the supernatural cardinal virtues as well as the natural cardinal virtues. The ones that are supernatural are the ones that will help us get to heaven. The natural virtues are the ones, you usually still have those even after you've had a big fall because they're a habitual practice. And so you may have a big fall, but you still have the natural virtue. But the natural virtue is, as the fathers of the church like to say, the natural virtues in and of themselves are beautiful vices because they don't aim to heaven. That's what makes the cardinal virtues, the supernatural virtues, cardinal virtues, because the direction, we can talk, prudence is a beautiful one. Prudence that is aimed at trying to get to heaven versus the prudence of trying to preserve the natural life. One can understand the big difference of those things. And our Lord is very clear on that. He who seeks to save his own life shall lose it. Whereas he who loses his life for my sake and the sake of the gospel shall gain it. That's supernatural prudence. When we have that vision in our actions, in our words, in our thoughts. So part of what I'm getting at is baptism, these graces are incomplete. We have them. They've begun. We've gotten some part of it, but not all of it. We believe in Christ when we're baptized. But we lack that firm fortitude to stand strong in the time of trial. And that comes through confirmation, which is what the disciples received at Pentecost. They received the Holy Spirit. That's what we receive when we receive the sacrament of confirmation. We receive the Holy Spirit to stand. Now we're adults in the church, ready to stand up and give witness to Christ, willing to suffer for the name. And this is the difference this is the stark contrast that we see from the birth of the church, from the death of Christ. You want to say that's sort of the baptism. We're baptized in Christ. We die with Christ, but we're afraid. Locking behind doors, got to hide. Someone might find out I'm a Catholic. I'm afraid I might get caught, put in prison, tortured, like poor Jesus. And so, the disciples are confused. They're frightened. This is why they're behind locked doors. Whereas in the reading, where are they in the reading we hear? First, they're working signs and wonders. They're all together in Solomon's portico. None of the others dare to join them, but the people esteemed them. They say, look how brave they are. It's awesome. They're so holy. And, we'll put our people out in the street so we can get cured maybe with the shadow of Peter. But we don't fall on them, and my brother will get cured. My sister will be healed. But I have to be careful. I don't want to get kicked out of the temple. the fear of giving witness to Christ. They haven't received the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit helps us. It's one of the things, you know, this is a theme which we'll hear throughout the Easter season. It's been a very strong theme throughout the Easter octave, going back and forth between these two, the reading of the Acts from the Acts of the Apostles with the descent of the Holy Spirit versus that fear and trepidation. You know, and also in a certain sense, it's an encouragement for all of us because, first of all, the disciples, in spite of all the exhortations of our Lord prior to his death, resurrection, I mean, he told them. He said that the Son of Man is to suffer. When he set his face to Jerusalem, he told them, he says, I'm going to go there to die. The chief priests and scribes are going to put me to death. In 3 days, I'm going to rise. So we don't know what he's talking about. I don't understand that at all. When it happens and they start hearing that he's risen, oh, come on. Give me a break. I saw the way he suffered. I mean, you see what those guys did in the Garden of Olives when they grabbed hold of him? It's horrible. They all fled in fear. And that was very fresh, strong and fresh in their mind. They had barely escaped with their own lives. And look what they did with their master. And the master told them, if he suffered, they can expect to suffer too. Have to suffer like that? What Jesus suffered? I'm out of here. Exit stage right or stage left, whichever is closer. Haven't received the gift of the Holy Spirit. They want to believe. They want to do good. They want to stand and give. You know, the desire is there. The Spirit's willing. Peter is a beautiful testimony. Lord, I'm ready to die with you. Are you ready to die with me? How many of us might feel like Peter sometimes? Lord, I'm ready to die for you. But when the cross is placed upon their shoulders, we scream out, Lord, help me, I can't take it. We scream out, it's too much. I can't bear it. It's too hard. It's too heavy. There's a pain right here, and it's just too much. That pain right there is just too much. I can't bear it. This is another, you know, it's a beautiful, this is also, as we know, Divine Mercy Sunday. Our Lord, in this first meeting, his first appearance, and this is on Easter Sunday, he wants to encourage his disciples who have gone through the scandal of the cross. So he appears to them, peace be with you. He shows them the hands and their feet. We also know from another gospel that he does correct them for their lack of belief of those whom he had appeared and already had sent to them to exhort them. You know, they weren't quick in leaving. They do finally get to Galilee. But it's after our Lord's reproach for them not going. But they do. You read and I'd encourage you to do that. Read the gospel, the four different gospels from the death to the resurrection. It's very short because they're all very quite brief and concise on what happens. They do finally get there. But in this meeting on Easter Sunday, which would have been the first Sunday we celebrated Easter last week, he gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and those sins whose sins you retain are retained. We're given the sacrament of confession. The power to bind and loose, it's given to all priests. And this is, you know, we really act on behalf of God. And it's an incredible gift that God gives. And some of you may have seen it, St. John Vianney play by Leonardo de Filippis. He gives a little beautiful quote from, you know, Leonardo de Filippis in regards to that. You know, the awesome power that God has given to his priest to be able to pardon our sins. I can't pardon my own. I have to go to a priest too. But to be able to pardon the sins of others. And to believe those words when the priest says, you know, and I absolve you of your sins. And he's speaking on behalf of Christ. This great mercy that he's given, not only the gift of baptism to wipe away original sin, but even though we sometimes fall into sin after baptism, we can still reconcile ourselves with God. This is why we all daily need to examine ourselves and go through what's always, and some people get confused, talk about, have you converted to the Lord today? Have you gone through your conversion? Have you tried to turn? That's what conversion means, to turn to the Lord, to be converted. And there's different stages of that conversion. We have the initial conversion when we really start trying to practice our faith. Then as we start trying to practice our faith through the dint of our efforts, with the help of God's grace, we finally get to another point where we start doing it better. And even then we start realizing our faults. And our faults start staring at us like the great sins that we used to have in the past, because we start seeing through the light of Christ how awful even our smallest faults are in relation to the great goodness of God and His great mercy. It's something, you know, as reflecting on God's mercy, we really need to look at that mercy both from the crib, I won't even say from the conception of our Lord, but from the crib all the way to the cross, Jesus' mercy to us. And contemplate it, living this different, and this is one of the reasons why during each season we want to take time to reflect on the gifts that God gives us in the season. And this season, primarily, what is it? It's hope. Hope through the mercy of the cross and our Lord and what He suffered for us. That doesn't mean that we can put the cross behind us and no, He gives us hope to bear the cross. It's not like you can, okay, drop the cross, forget it, run off and I can scamper off and have all the fun I want because Christ has carried the cross for me and I don't have to suffer anymore. That's not what Christ says in the scriptures. You know, go back and read the scriptures again. He doesn't say that. If you would be my disciple, take up your cross daily and follow me. And if we do that, then the hope of the resurrection is ours. And the more we share in that suffering, He gave a vision. I was kind of preparing my homily or the talk that I'm going to give today on the divine mercy. One of the things that our Lord, He gave this vision to St. Faustina. And I was asking him, I said, well, what do you want me to talk about? So I opened up and started reading the divine mercy a little bit, skipping around. One of the things I found, it was quite beautiful. He gave a vision to St. Faustina. Of course, he only stopped at three, and one could go a little further and realize what happens. But of the three visions, she would see in the first vision those coming carrying crosses, and they were nailed to their cross. The second group were carrying their cross, and they were firmly holding on to it. They weren't nailed to it, but they were firmly holding it. The third group came dragging their cross, kind of carelessly dragging their cross, the great unwillingness. Of course, we can imagine the next type of conditions. There wasn't a fourth group. Why? Because they didn't carry their cross. And our Lord actually tells her, He says, those who throughout their life share in my contempt and my suffering and in my pain will be more like me in my glory. You know, those who allow themselves to be nailed to the cross which Christ sends to them, they will share the glory of the crucified Lord, their crucified Lord in heaven, because they have conformed themselves most perfectly. Or you might say more, because you can always do more and more and more. But they try to conform themselves most perfectly to our Lord. And so when they get to heaven, they will share in the glory of their Lord crucified. Others, because of whatever perfection, they're willing to carry their cross firmly, but perhaps they don't want to allow themselves to be crucified on that cross, but they firmly carry their cross willingly. They will share in that glory of our Lord who carried His cross for love of them. And the others who grudgingly carried their cross will share in the glory of their Lord with the perfection in which they carried grudgingly their cross after our Lord. Sort of like Simon of Cyrene. Although they say he converted on the way because even in the movies, a beautiful portrayal, he didn't want to take up the cross, but in the end, he willingly took it up to help our Lord carry His cross. And we sometimes, this is us, we don't take it. So pray to our Lord with poor Saint Simon of Cyrene to pray that we take up our cross generously out of love for Him. The great mercy of our Lord for all of us. First, we see the lack of courage in the disciples, the apostles, their difficulty to believe. in our Lord and what he suffered and the fact that this man who suffered so horribly, so outrageously, is now risen. And people are, he's appearing to people. It's not fair that he shouldn't appear to me, poor Thomas. But Thomas isn't really a whole lot different than the rest of the disciples when you look at him. He got singled out, admittedly, for special reasons, one might say for us, one for our sake. You know, and this lack of courage on the part of the disciples also means that we know they weren't credulous. They weren't easy to be made, easy to believe in the resurrection. That's one of the things that, you know, gives a lot of credence to the whole resurrection scenario, is that his closest disciples didn't believe it. And he had to appear to them, and he chided them for that lack of belief, because they were incredulous. Complete opposite. It's like, usually, you know, this, and if you don't know the difference in those terms, credulity is a willingness to believe without sufficient evidence. Believe everything you hear. We usually like to tease and joke with people, don't we? They're easy to believe things, and they're fun to pick on. At the same time, you know, you can say with St. Thomas, for those of you who sometimes suffer from this, you can say with St. Thomas, St. Thomas was told by one of his fellow brethren who looked out a window and said, "Oh, look, a cow was flying," and St. Thomas went to the window to look. And they all laughed at him for the fact that he believed that a cow could fly. And he turned to the brother who said it, and he said, "It's easier for me to believe that a cow could fly than that my brother could lie." Profound thoughts from St. Thomas Aquinas. You know, this, admittedly, it was done in jest, but at the same time, perhaps St. Thomas was trying to point out there is something about a certain simplicity, you know, wanting to believe, but there is we do have to be careful of being credulous, believing things too easily without sufficient reason. Incredulity is when you have sufficient evidence to believe. St. Mary Magdalene, they knew she was reputable. She had a good character. She wasn't a hysterical woman. She didn't have marbles loose. And when they discredited her, they didn't want to believe the men either. This is why our Lord approaches him. He had several witnesses, different people, different places, different circumstances, saying, "Our Lord is risen. What do you mean you don't believe? That's just pride. You're given sufficient evidence. You should believe." But because of that unbelief, we have the conviction for ourselves the Lord has risen, because of the difficulty that our Lord had in trying to get the disciples to believe he had risen. They didn't just simply believe it. He had to prove it, and he had to prove it again and again. And we hear throughout the Gospels, even when he ascended into heaven, we'll hear again that there were still some among them who did not believe. That difficulty to believe in the resurrection. Body and soul. May we say with St. Thomas, who's given us these beautiful words, "My Lord and my God," to recognize God in the human nature of Christ, to recognize God hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. "My Lord and my God," beautiful words as we elevate the Eucharist today. Bear those words in mind. Say them in your heart and tell the Lord, "Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Help me to live faithfully in my life the gift of the gospel that you have given us, that I be not afraid to give witness to Christ in my life, and help you, work with you, to draw other souls to Christ through the Immaculate." Praise be Jesus and Mary.